Happy New Year to everyone. Whether you're here in person or you're watching online, Happy New Year. We're entering a new year, 2022. Excited about what God is going to do in this year. And hopefully one of the things that we're going to see is we're going to break out of COVID. Wouldn't that be great? Yes. But Happy New Year. And speaking of COVID, just to clarify for those online and here, our Sundays are going back to what they were, which before Christmas Eve, which is 50% capacity, and you don't need to show a vaccine passport to come in and be here in our room. But just so everybody's clear on that, we're going back to 50% capacity. Everybody's got to wear masks, and we're just going to continue to follow the guidelines as they come out. Also, if you were here either online or in person on Christmas Eve, you know we took an offering Christmas Eve, and that offering was going towards Eternal Anchor, an amazing ministry in the Baja of Mexico, and we raised just over $15,000 to help them purchase and fix up a house. So thank you, everyone, for your generosity. So appreciate you stewarding your money in that way to bless that organization. I know they're going to be really encouraged. And as I mentioned a minute ago, as we all know, we're entering into a new year, and I am really looking forward to seeing how God is going to move in our midst as we continue to push out our post-COVID vision. And if you remember, there are a number of circles. Throw up the next slide for me, or whatever slide needs to come up. Next one. There we go. This one with our seven circles. And just so that you remember, we're looking here at spiritual friendships and Serve the City and Living Edge Market happening on Thursday night at our other campus. And you're going to see some changes to our Sunday services over the next few weeks. Victoria Dream Center is going to continue to push out our learning and unlearning opportunities so that we can learn and unlearn as we seek to walk alongside Indigenous people. Mission San Quintin has got some changes coming up. We'll be sharing those with you in the coming weeks. And we're really going to be pushing out our micro church vision over this next year. And we want to encourage everyone to become part of a micro church. And so you're going to hear more of that. So as we work on these seven circles, I'm really excited to see what God is going to do in our midst. And today, as we begin a new year, we're starting a new series. But before we jump into a new series, let's do a quick recap of our last series, Broken But Beautiful, where we looked at the church both today and back, the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation. And we saw that the church both today and back then is both beautiful, but it's also broken. So let me give you a quick recap. We started with the church in Ephesus, and there were some beautiful parts to this church. They worked hard. They were a church that was buzzing with activity. There were all kinds of ministries and programs going on. They were also a church that persevered. They were people who were being rejected. They were being persecuted because of their faith, and yet they persevered. They also stood for truth. They were an Orthodox church. They were Orthodox in their belief. I mean, this appeared to be the model church. And yet, it was significantly broken. The church, you see, had lost its first love. They were no longer seeking Jesus first. They were no longer fixing their gaze on Him. Their passion for Jesus had been lost. Then we looked at the church in Smyrna. And the church in Smyrna was one of two churches that had no criticism. It was all beautiful with this church. They had done nothing wrong. In fact, they were doing everything right. They were seeking Jesus and His kingdom. They were making godly, right choices. And because of that, they too found themselves being persecuted. Then there was the church in Pergamum. It also had a beautiful part. Despite all the secularism and the weird religious stuff that was going on and the persecution they were experiencing, this church was standing firm in its faith. And yet it was also broken. Because while the church was resisting influences from the outside, they had become indifferent to two groups within the church who were spreading false ideas. And the ideas were, it was okay to worship other gods, and it was okay to be involved as Christ followers in sexual immorality. And then there was the church in Thyatira. They were beautiful in that, fueled by a growing love and faith, this church was doing good deeds. They were serving other people. But it was also broken, because there was a lady in the church named Jezebel who was telling Christ followers it was okay to be involved in union activities, which we don't think is a big deal. But back then it was, because if you wanted to work in the city of Thyatira, you had to be part of a union. And if you were part of a union, you had to go to the union gatherings or meeting, if you will. And at those union gatherings and meetings, they were also worshiping false gods. And they had it was just like a sexual orgy at these meetings. And Jezebel was saying it was okay for Christ followers to compromise and go to these union meetings. And her message was appealing to the Christ followers in the church, because we all love, the path of least resistance. And so they were tolerating her and her teaching. And then there was a church in Sardis. Again, this is the second church Sardis, I got churches mixed up here. In Sardis, there was nothing beautiful in this church. This church was deeply broken. It had the appearance of life. They looked good on the outside, but inwardly, they were dead. They had lost sight of for whom they were doing what they were doing. Then there was a church in Philadelphia, and this is the second church on which Jesus heaped much praise. There was no criticism here. There was no word of complaint or correction. In fact, that church, if you remember, just had an open door before them. And then the last church was the church in Laodicea. They were a prosperous, successful church, at least in their own eyes. In reality, they'd become self-sufficient. They'd allowed their passion for God, the fire for God that they once had, to slowly go out. And they'd become lukewarm. Now, as you can imagine, and as we saw as we went through this series, there are lots of lessons that today's church can learn from those seven churches. But here's what I want us to see today. Five of those seven churches needed to deeply change their thinking and their acting and their speaking and their focus and their beliefs. In other words, they needed to repent, which means to turn around and go in a different direction. They needed Jesus to disrupt their lives. They needed God the Father to move powerfully in their midst. They needed a deep transformational encounter with the Spirit of God. And as we enter 2022, I believe the church in North America needs the same thing today. The church in North America, for the most part, needs to repent, needs to turn around and go a new direction. They need Jesus to disrupt our lives. We need God the Father to move powerfully in our midst. We need a deep transformational encounter with the Spirit of God. In other words, as we move into 2022, we need revival. Revival is an awakening to God's presence that revives our souls. It's when Jesus powerfully touches the lives of the weary and the oppressed and the defeated and the desperate. Here's a great definition of revival. It's going to come up on the screen. Revival is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the lives of Christ followers that results in the kingdom of God being manifested on earth as it is in heaven. Let me read that to you again. That's a great definition of revival. Revival is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the lives of Christ followers that results in the kingdom of God being manifested on earth as it is in heaven. We need to experience that today. We need revival. And it's happened before here in Victoria. Years ago, revival struck Victoria. An invitation was extended by the local ministerial many years ago to a young British evangelist named Charles Price to come and hold a crusade here in Victoria. And beginning in April of 1923, meetings were hosted first at the Metropolitan Methodist Church, and it strained the church in its capacity. 2,000 people sat and stood in the main sanctuary, with hundreds more filling the overflow rooms. The meeting soon moved to the Willow Arena, which was built to seat 6,000 people, but 9,000 filled the arena nightly, with up to 4,000 people being turned away each night. Now, those numbers are large by today's standards. But in 1923, those numbers were unprecedented. Victoria's population back then was only 55,000 people. Hundreds, even up to 1,000 a night, were deciding to follow Jesus. Healings were frequent and dramatic. The newspaper reported in detail the blind seeing and the lame walking. Even those with terminal conditions were being touched and healed by the power of God. And as we enter 2022, we need to be praying, Lord, do it again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on our church, on the churches in the city, on the city itself. Demolish strongholds. Break the chains of addiction, heal sick bodies, feel free the oppressed, forgive sin, heal the broken, restore marriages, bring people young and old into a life-transforming relationship with you. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. And now intuitively we know that that prayer won't be answered by a fancy marketing scheme, a successful social media strategy, a slick service, or the latest program. We need something far deeper. We need revival. And revival always starts with personal encounters with God. They start with a person or a small group of people. And they become flames from which a community of Christ followers are set afire by the Holy Spirit. And when a community of Christ followers are set ablaze for God by the Holy Spirit, they become a spark that sets the city ablaze. As we enter 2022, let's be that spark. I wasn't planning on preaching a series on revival. I was planning to start this new year speaking a series called Who Am I? About our identity in Christ. I've been working on it. I've been researching it. And then in the middle of the night, I had this dream kind of saying that I don't remember my dreams, but I remember this. I remember in the middle of the night hearing this voice in my head. Could have been me, could have been God, who knows what it was, but this voice simply said this: I want you to preach revival. And I woke up in the morning and I remember that. I thought, that's kind of weird. And then later in the day, this voice that I kind of recognize as the Spirit of God in my life said it to me again: I want you to preach on revival. Okay. I didn't pay much attention to it. I just thought, oh, interesting. Yeah, I'll get around to that. And then I was reading a book that we as a staff are reading called Spiritual Authority. And I was reading along and I came to these words. It says this: I am convinced that we stand at the preface, tongue is not working today. And the drag of only doing one service online is this is the service they get recorded. Anyway, I am convinced that we stand at the prefaces of an unprecedented kingdom opportunity. Seldom has revival come in times of comfort, ease, and prosperity. Revival has most often been birthed out of pain, famine, war, and persecution. This is a time for the church to lean into God and be purified so that we can shine the bright light of the kingdom into the darkness of the hour. And when I read those words, they just hit me. And I started tearing up. And something deep happened in my soul. In fact, when I read them to the staff, I started tearing up again. In fact, I'm tearing up right now. There's something about those words that are doing something deep in my soul. And when I read those words, I thought to myself, okay, I got it. I'll preach on revival, God. I'll preach on revival. We'll do Who Am I at another time. As I've said in the past, I believe God wants to use this time of COVID as a disruption for his church. I've also said a number of times, we are on the cusp of a great move of God. Here are the words of Amos 9:13. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of another. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring out of the mountains and the hills. Now to experience that, to experience revival, you need leaders who are revived. Leaders who are desperately seeking an outpouring of God's presence. Leaders who are overflowing with the Holy Spirit. No revival has ever happened without revived leaders. To experience revival, you need leaders who are revived. Someone has said this: I truly believe that God is whispering to pastors to come away and experience a refreshing for the journey, an empowerment for the battle. You see, it is when you are away from the pulpit and the programs that God can once again pour oil upon your head and place a fire in your belly. And maybe that's why John Wesley, the 18th century English cleric, and leader of a major revival within the Church of England, spent 2 hours a day in prayer. Someone who knew him well has said this: he thought prayer to be more his business than anything else. And I have seen him come out of the closet with a serenity of face next to shining. Martin Luther, the father of the Protestant Reformation, once said, if I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business, I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer. Missionary Heidi Baker, who with her husband founded Iris Ministries in Mozambique, an amazing, amazing ministry that God has used to just spread the kingdom in much of Africa. Heidi Baker has said this: in the midst of my busy life, overseeing thousands of churches, caring for thousands of children, and feeding thousands of people every day, Jesus spoke to me to reverse my schedule. If you give me your mornings, I will give you a nation. History shows that revival spreads by the preaching of men and women who have been lit on fire by the Spirit of God. That's why when people ask John Wesley how he drew such large crowds and led so many people to follow Jesus, he said, I just set myself on fire for God and people will come and watch me burn. Somebody has to start the fire. And I've been thinking to myself, if not me, then who? And if not here and now, when and where? Early in the 20th century, evangelist Gypsy Smith was asked, how do you start a revival? And he said this, I love it. Go home, lock yourself in your room, kneel down in the middle of the floor, and with a piece of chalk, draw a circle around yourself. There on your knees, pray fervently and brokenly that God would start a revival within that circle. Isn't that good? I'll read it again. Go home, lock yourself in your room, kneel down in the middle of your floor, and with a piece of chalk, draw a circle around yourself. There on your knees, pray fervently and brokenly that God would start a revival within that circle. As we enter 2022, that's kind of what I'm going to do. As we enter 2022, as your pastor, I am going to make the pursuit of God's manifest presence my number one priority. I am going to seek God for revival, and I'm going to ask Him to start with me. Thus, I'm going to humbly, and I mean very humbly, follow in the footsteps of John Wesley and Martin Luther and Heidi Baker, and I'm going to commit to spending a minimum of 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, seeking God for revival. And I'm not asking anyone else in the church to do this. It's just what I feel God leading me to do. But as I've said, somebody has got to start the fire. And if not me, then who? And if not here and now, then when and where? In Psalm 85:6, it says this. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? What a great prayer. What a great prayer. Let's pray that prayer as we enter 2022 together. Heavenly Father, revive us again. Fill us with your Spirit. Make your presence known. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. And as we come to the close of our service and as we come to communion this morning, that's how we're going to finish our service this first Sunday of 2022 together. Let's acknowledge that revival really starts in many ways at the communion table. With us coming and taking the bread and the cup together. Because those elements call us back to Jesus. They call us to fix our gaze on Him. They call us to seek Jesus and His kingdom first. They call us to repentance and surrender. And so as we take the bread and the cup together, this first Sunday of 2022, let's use this time to fix our gaze on Jesus and to commit ourselves to seek first His kingdom. And maybe that involves repentance and surrender. I'm going to pray, and then Lindsay's going to come and lead us in communion. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a new year, a year we can walk into. Thank you for disturbing my plans in so many ways and calling me to speak on revival. Where it leads, what you'll do, I have no idea. But Father, as I seek you, I pray that you would start a spark in me that would light the church on fire, that would light a city on fire. God, may this be a year we never forget. As we say to you, Lord, do it again. Do it again. In Jesus' name, amen.